This is the NetGroup Investments Insights Podcast, where one or more of our experts explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Anil Jagmohan, Senior Investment Analyst here at NetGroup Investments. I am joined in studio today and am very pleased to welcome back Rashad Tayyab. Rashad is a portfolio manager at Ford Asset Management. He and his team manage the NetGroup Investments Stable Fund. Rashad, good morning and how are you?
Good morning, Anil.
Rashad, always lovely to have you with us. So Rashad, I was fortunate to be able to join you and your colleagues on a research trip to China recently, and I wanted to get a sense of your thoughts and insights, please. Shall we kick off?
Yeah, let's kick off. I think it was a fascinating trip. There'll be lots to talk about.
Brilliant. So let's start with the big picture first, please. So what were your key macroeconomic takeaways from the trip? I mean, how is sentiment on the ground compared to what global investors are perceiving?
So the key things we heard again and again was the recovering Chinese consumer and the focus on high quality growth. And a lot of the companies would talk about this high quality growth. And I think what that means is it's not going to be just infrastructure for infrastructure's sake. It's not going to be putting up apartment buildings, inflating a property bubble. It's going to be about building companies, building infrastructure which serves the Chinese society and the Chinese economy. So I think that is a shift in focus. It does come down with a step down in GDP growth. So you've had 2-3 decades where the economy was growing at 7 or 8% per annum, which is an economic miracle that is going to step down. And maybe in this context, 5% seems like a slowdown or maybe even a recession to them. But you are still seeing good economic growth, you're seeing a recovering Chinese consumer, and you're seeing an economy which creates a lot of opportunities, which I think from the dominant perception is that the Chinese economy is still in a rut. But I think the recovery is definitely still underway, and that's what we heard across the board from companies.
I remember hearing some amazing things from the guys. So Rashad, I guess from a developmental standpoint now, what really stood out for you in terms of infrastructure, innovation, and progress on urbanization, please?
So I think I do read a lot and watch a lot about what's going on in China, but I think nothing really prepares you for both the scale and the quality. So, you know, we started off in Singapore, went to Macau, and then we crossed into mainland China, taking the ferry to Shenzhen. Now, this is a city of 17 to 18 million people. If you look at a metropolis on that scale, it's so well executed. It almost feels like a bigger version of Singapore in terms of the buildings, the infrastructure, the transport links, etc. When you look at other metropolises, Sao Paulo, Jakarta, Bombay, you know, these are just chaotic cities once you get to a certain scale. The ability of China to execute a city of that scale with that quality and that infrastructure, I think nothing really prepares you to see something like that.
Yeah, it's true. She's like, you almost literally think you're sitting in better than a developed city, actually. So maybe let's talk about the stable fund now in particular. So China is quite a significant weighting in the fund on a look-through basis. How did this trip influence your conviction in this position, please?
So if you look at the stable fund, we have around 10% in Asia, but in that there's some TSMC, which is Taiwanese, you've got APR, Korean Beauty, you've got some Japanese stocks there. So when you look at China, it's more like 6 or 7%. So it's an important part of the portfolio, but it's not overwhelming. It's not dominating the portfolio by any means. And when you look at the key holdings there, we do have, for example, some of the main tech stocks like Tencent, Baba, JD.com. And when I see the development of tech in the Chinese economy, when I see the growth and your ability to buy these dominant, high-quality companies at the cutting edge at just a fraction of the Mag 7 prices, I think seeing that in person definitely increased my conviction on the potential for these investments going forward.
And specifically, while we're on this topic, like perhaps did you identify any new opportunities or risks that weren't previously on your radar?
I think the new opportunities specifically were on the basis of the Chinese consumer and the recovery that's happening, the scale and where they are in the cycle of consumption. So we visited companies like Chagi, which is trying to be the Starbucks of tea, and they did a rollout of 5,000 stores in 2 years. You can barely comprehend the speed and scale at which that was done. We saw another company called A Tour, which is planning to double their hotels from about 2,500 to 5,000 in the next 5 years. So I think there we're seeing a recovering Chinese consumer, a more affluent one, and one that's willing to spend. And I think the opportunities that that creates from an investment perspective are definitely there. So the Chinese consumer plays, it's not going to be easy, but they're definitely where you want to be looking for opportunities. On the risk side, I think that the competitiveness of the Chinese economy makes you have to be very selective in the investments that you look for because, you look at the car companies, they're producing phenomenal cars, excellent prices at high quality. Now, that's great for the economy. It's great for the end consumer. But this competitiveness means that it's very difficult to make money. So when we're looking at stocks, we have to take into account that risk and understand companies which are going to win in the end and can create a moat maybe down the line.
I mean, you mentioned Chagi, I guess very quickly. I remember the founder, his story is just unbelievable, that he was a teenager, his parents had both passed away. He was roaming the streets, literally begging for food and money, and he built this enormous empire, and he is now a billionaire.
Yeah, it's an amazing company, but as our PMs pointed out, the stock IPO'd last year and has halved. So, you can't necessarily buy into the hype, but now that it's come down and they still have great growth prospects and they are cementing their place, maybe now is the time to be, buying that stock.
And Rashad, I guess finally then, if you had to distill the trip into, let's say, one key insight for our investors, what would that be?
I think the key insight is that China is not an emerging market. I know I've had this debate before. People categorize it that it falls in MSCI EM, but it really stands on its own. It is the biggest economy in the world. I know the statistics currently don't say that. It says that the US economy is the biggest in the world. And I think that served both Chinese interest to go under the radar, and it served the US interest to continue to appear to be the most dominant economy in the world. But I think that's going to be increasingly difficult to hide. You look at 7 or 8 of the busiest ports in the world in China. You look at the biggest high-speed railway. You look at they more than double the electricity production of the United States. And they do have 1.4 billion people. So I think the inevitability of the recognition that China is actually the biggest dominant economy in the world, I think when that GDP gets rebased, it's going to be the greatest statistical revision of all time, and China is just going to leapfrog. And I think that while there is this variant perception, as our PM and our Singapore PMs love to point out, that people don't recognize that fact, you need to have some exposure to the growth that's happening in the biggest economy in the world. As we pointed out, it's not without challenges and risks, but I think that going forward over the next decade, you need to find opportunities in that economy.
Rashad, brilliant. Thank you very much. And thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat to us.
Thanks, Anil. Great to chat.
Goodbye, everyone. Until next time, keep well.
This podcast is for marketing purposes only. The information contained in the podcast or video was for information purposes and does not constitute advice, recommendation, or an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any funds or strategies to any person in any jurisdiction in which the offer, recommendation, or solicitation to purchase would be unlawful.